This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بين يدي الساعة بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا، فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين ومن صار على نهجهم إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters and viewers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. On this day of Al-Jum'ah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to have mercy upon us. Now today, inshallah ta'ala, with the few minutes and moments I have with you, I want to go through a very important Quranic message, and the message that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave to mankind. Now, if we go back to the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we will understand that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to a people who were very much caught up in their own selves in so many different ways. So much so that they had forgot and misunderstood how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. That they were on a path to destruction. Not necessarily you would see the visible effects of that in this life, but in the hereafter, that they would be from the halikin, that they would be from those who would be destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to correct them, to teach them how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, how to treat one another with respect, and how to allow people to have their rights. Now, if you can say that this is very much like in how we are in this day and age, that very much so people have forgotten how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to attach themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Back in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, what gave a person a status was the tribe that you belonged to, or how much money you owned, or how much power or land that you owned as well. And this was the status amongst the Quraysh, or the mushrikun of the Quraysh in Makkah, that the weak they were taken advantage of, that they were bought and they were sold as slaves, and women were also bought and sold and also inherited. But Islam came to abolish all of this. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ appeared and came with a message to dissolve this way of thinking, to diminish and take away that al-qawi, that the strong will consume the da'if, that everybody is on the same footing. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That the most honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses the most taqwa. Nothing to do with any worldly matter. When the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salam came out and people began to embrace Islam, slowly but surely, the Quraysh, they found their power weakening. They found their situation in their communities that it was not as it was before. They saw themselves as those who were in charge of money, fame, women and power. These four things, which to be honest, hasn't changed very much in our day and age. That people have status in society because of the amount of money they have, or the amount of fame and status, or because who they're married to, maybe they're a famous wife or a famous husband, or the power. These are the things that people are seeking. These are the things that people are chasing in this worldly life. And if you look at this day and age, not very much has happened in over 1400 years. You could further say that if you go back throughout mankind's history, subhanallah, that people who want to have authority over the earth, who disregard the hereafter, it is one of these four things that they will search for. Now, this brief introduction, brothers and sisters, where people are caught up in this or in that worldly life, nothing much has changed. But every so often, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people, and there are messages in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only remind a people in a particular area, but this message will reach every corner of the earth. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he wasn't sent to the Arabs or the Arabian Peninsula, but was a message to the whole of mankind. Now here we are in 2020, and life as we know it has changed so quickly in the space of a month. The freedoms, the privileges, the things that we took for granted, many of them have been taken away temporarily. We're only allowed to leave our homes for essential needs. And looking at this situation, everything has been brought back down to ground level. The rich, the poor, the old, the young, regardless of what race or nationality, whatever you are, you all have the same position. Even, subhanAllah, leaders of countries have been afflicted by this pandemic, the coronavirus. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson that if a message is to be delivered to the people, it is at times above the leaders and those who are in control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that it is man yudabbiru al-amr, who is the one who is in control of the universe? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none other. But the whole world has been brought to a relative standstill, not with earthquakes or volcanoes or nuclear wars, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this earth down to earth for it to stop, for us to ponder over something that we cannot even see, a small virus. And always it is important for us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not fallen short in explaining everything that we need to know. All the ibtila'at, all the tests that occur to people this day and age, is something that the people of the past, that they were also tried with. If we look at the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how an individual who said, Ana rabbukum al-a'la, that I am the highest Lord, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. It is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to command the earth to swallow Fir'aun and his army. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us that in these stories that there is an ibrah, that there are lessons for us to learn. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu salam, an individual from Banu Israel, one individual, subhanallah, who received the word of Allah jalla wa ala, to stand in front of the most powerful individual of his time, to remind him with a statement, to remind him with a soft statement, لَعَلُّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ, maybe he will ponder and think about what is being said. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to him when he rejected Musa alayhi salam with frogs, locusts, blood, floods, and lice. On each occasion, that Fir'aun did not take heed and he did not listen. Rather, he became more arrogant and he became more pompous with regards to his status over people. In fact, he mocked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, mocked the way that he spoke. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually, he destroyed Fir'aun. Not by bringing about a more powerful army, but rather a single man from Banu Israel, an individual whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from mankind to deliver the message to Banu Israel, to stand up in front of this tyrant, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified this earth at that time with water. And as we know, that water is the origin in the purification of all things. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stood there at the edge of the sea, and his own people had almost lost hope, inna la mudrakun, that we have been caught up, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam replied, kalla, indeed no, inna rabbi sayahdeen, inna rabbi sayahdeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, he is the one who is going to guide us all. So Musa alayhi salam, with his staff, he hit the sea and then he opened up. And then subhanAllah, Banu Israel and Musa alayhi salam, they were saved. And Fir'aun was drowned and destroyed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified the earth, removed these tyrants, those people who did not listen to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is similar, if you like, to the story of Nuh alayhi salam. As we know that Nuh alayhi salam, that he called his people to the word of Allah Jalla wa Ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years, but they did not listen. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flooded the earth until only those who believed in Nuh alayhi salam, who followed Nuh alayhi salam, that they were saved. And for this reason, as we know, Nuh alayhi salam is the second father of mankind. That again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us at times that there will be a sign for mankind to take heed and to think about what is happening. And in some way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that our earth now, the time that we are living in, is some form of purification. It has to be, wallahu a'lam, that all these things that happen do not happen for no reason. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees everything with a precise and perfect measure. That there is a hikmatun baligha, that there is a perfect wisdom behind everything. Maybe we will not know the understanding and the reason right now, but inshallah ta'ala, a time will come in the future that we will be able to reflect and look back how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused things to happen and that there was a benefit in that. So if you like, from a Muslim perspective, or those who look to improve society, all those vices that were in places like involved khamar, who sold khamr, alcohol, who were involved in buying and selling, fornication, gambling, pubs and clubs, subhanAllah, all of these places have been closed. So the amount of munkar, the amount of evil occurring in society has subsided so much. Now even, because there may be said, well, the masajid are closed. But walillahil hamd, the masajid, as Muslims, we do not need the masjids to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims, we can worship Allah jalla wa ala in our homes and anywhere we may be. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told us, that this earth has been made a place of prayer and a source of purification. So as the masajid that they are closed, It doesn't mean that we don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we will remember the blessings of the masjid. In this time of difficulty, where no doubt there was an opportunity for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to remind ourselves of the blessings and the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly gives us. That when life will slowly return to the way or the liberties and privileges that are given to us once again, in what state are we going to return to? Yes, these places may reopen, the masajid will reopen, but in what state will we be? And how are we going to interact with these places? Maybe people will value the blessings and bounties that they never had before, or they didn't realize that they had. So when the masajid they reopen, they will find the imams there. They will find that when the masajid open, people are rushing back to establish the congregational prayer. So even though we cannot be with our brothers and our communities inside the masajid, that when the masajid do reopen bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will be quick and we will hasten towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we will see new faces. We will see new people attending the masjid. Those people who are now aware of the masajid, that they are closed. And somehow they realize that subhanAllah, I didn't go before. When they reopen, I will return and go back to the masjid. This is one of the benefits. Or are we going to be from those people that when the masajid and life goes back to some form of normality, what we used to know it as, are we going to return to the malls? Are we going to return to the shops after we have left our isolation and quarantine? What are we, or how are we going to return? After Nuh alayhi salam, when he was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there were those who remembered what it was like before. Banu Israel, they will remember the time as it was like before under the rule of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them through that sequence of events for them to realize the blessings and bounties that Allah jalla wa ala gave them. So there's a great responsibility upon us all, brothers and sisters, that when we are in times of difficulty, for us to remember the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. If you could say, civilization as a whole, we are abusing the environment and we are abusing the earth. Capitalism and all these isms and schisms, they've all been put to one side, they've been laid to sleep temporarily for us to realize who is really benefiting who and who is helping who. This is an opportunity for us to wake up and to look around and take stock of our environment and how, when things return to some normality, how we can be part of something which is better for the future, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Atheism, which has been prevalent in so many communities, the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering now that the staunchest atheist, those who reject Allah jalla wa ala, those who say, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهَرُ. And these people who say that our life is nothing but this world. We live and we die and nothing destroys us but time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got nothing to do with our existence. These people, when they go through the most difficult of times, maybe when they see a loved one in the hospital, or they hear about a loved one who is in hospital, what can we do? Maybe we see them from behind a screen. Maybe we hear about their story. We ask the doctors, and no doubt the doctors and the nurses and the consultants and the specialists, who are the highly most professional trained people in their field, they can do nothing to save that individual. All they can do is supportive and give them certain medicines to make them comfortable. That they realize there is nothing we can do, that there is someone far greater than us. There is something far greater than us in whose hands these matters lie. And this is no doubt, as Muslims we understand, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala huwa al-muhyi wal-mumit. He is the one who gives life and he is the one who takes life. When we go back to the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all of these things, and it's important for us to take the Quranic message and try to understand our environment and understand our life. This isn't a book that we refer to and just read and then we close it and don't ponder over it. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. One of the most beautiful things for us to do is to ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an. And pondering means, how can I understand the Qur'anic message with regards to my life? Because we know that the message, Al-Islam, is suitable for every era, for every time, for every society and every place. This is the miracle of the Qur'an. Because this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which doesn't have a sell-by date. This is something unsuitable for every time, but it is upon us to ponder over and extract the benefits from it. When the Quraysh, when they heard these things, what did they say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said, we will have to stop him. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they used to put their fingers in their ears not to hear the message, because they didn't want to be put in a place where they wanted to answer the Quran, and they knew themselves that they had no answer. The only thing they could do was to offer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worldly matters, worldly things. They offered him land, they offered him power, they offered him if he wanted to marry from the most beautiful women and the high status women of the land. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what he was offering and giving mankind wasn't this worldly life, but was delivering a message, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرًا وَأَبَقَى, that the hereafter is better and more lasting. It is eternal. That's what they were willing to offer the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was something which would have a time and then would pass by. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, that everything on this earth will come to an end. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued with his message, teaching that the real life is al-hayat al-ukhrawi, is the life of the hereafter. The Quraysh, they went to Abu Talib. They went to Abu Talib asking him to tell your nephew to stop him from delivering this message. They addressed Abu Talib with the best of words, that you are the most honored amongst us. You are from the highest rank. And we have asked you with all respect to tell your nephew to stop preaching. When Abu Talib, who was not a Muslim, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked him to stop the divisions, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied respectfully, beautifully, responding to his uncle Abu Talib, "Ma ana biqadirin ala an ada'a lakum dhalik," that I'm not able to stop this for them or for you. I'm only able to do this because I'm commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Abu Talib, who himself said, "Ma kadhib ibn akhi," that my nephew has not lied. And he said to the Quraysh, "Farji'u," leave him, and I will protect him as long as I am alive. Subhanallah. This worldly life, and that what we are, or we were involved in the malls and the shopping and the buying and the hoarding. Imagine now that a time of fitna and calamity, the people, the only focus that they were upon is to fill their homes with as much products as they can. Where were you when all this was happening? Were you hoarding? Were you afraid of what you were going to eat, what you were going to wear, how you're going to clean yourself? You should know that there are people on earth who are living like this before this pandemic, who are living like this during the pandemic, and subhanallah, they may live like this after the pandemic, that they do not know where their next meal is coming from, that they live in a situation where there is illness and disease, not just with the coronavirus, but things like cholera and other diseases because of the impure and lack of water that they have. That is their norm. And how it is for us to realize that when a small bounty, a small privilege Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away from us, albeit temporarily. And it is not even temporary, because you still have access to food and drinks and clothing. You can go back to your homes in safety. There are people on earth who do not live like that. So it is very important at times of calamity, at times of difficulty, for us to ponder over these things. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Fi akhir zaman," in the last of times, what did he advise us with? He advised us with عليكم بسنتي. Go back to my sunnah wa sunnatul khulafa' ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di. And this is mentioned in a hadith of Ubad ibn Sariyah radiyallahu anhu in Sunan Abi Dawud. In times of fitin and confusion, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to go back to the Quran and Sunnah? Because this is the only absolute truth, the only absolute steadfast truth that we can hold on to. When there is so much confusion, especially with the media, with social media, Facebook, with Instagram, with YouTube, everybody's able to put their point of view on the screen. People don't know whether they are coming, they are going. Different medical professionals have different views and viewpoints and perspectives on the situation. You can't blame people for feeling confused and how to get out of this situation. They can feel overwhelmed. But when we go back to the guidance, the Quran and Sunnah, there is no confusion. The Prophet ﷺ said, for example, when the Dajjal comes, when he appears, there will be so much confusion. So many people will want to go and see what this Dajjal, what this individual is doing. But this is not the advice. The advice is to stay away from him, to run away from him, to hold on to the Quran and Sunnah, to hold on to those absolute truths, and not to be or to face all of these confusions in the fear that you may be swayed by these issues. So in times of fitan like this, brothers and sisters, we must be aware not to fall into matters which will lead us to be more confused, but rather we should hold on to the guidance of that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. That happiness, understanding of our environment in this life and the hereafter can only be found when we go back to the Quran and Sunnah. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test at times, test us due to our sins or the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us of certain blessings and bounties that He has given us. Regardless of what the purpose is or the reason, the outcome should be exactly the same. And that is for us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize our shortcomings and our weaknesses, so that we go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That we will not be the same people after this pandemic, that we will utilize our masajid in the correct way, we will serve our communities, Muslim and non-Muslim, in the way that is commanded to us. That what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah. The non-Muslim neighbors that we have, once we didn't know them, now we know them. Now we know that they have rights over us. And we become model neighbors. And that we are able to help our communities in the way that we should. This is, as we remember, the only way at times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change us. We are unable to do it ourselves. Sometimes the evil and munkar and the misguidance is so deep-rooted in a community that community needs to be shocked to the very, very core for them to realize where they were and the direction that they should be going in. And maybe this is, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, this is not something is, you know, constricted to a particular country or a city. This is worldwide. This is a reminder on a global level. Every single person has a responsibility as it stands in solving the problem. Staying at home, isolating, quarantining. Everybody has a place in resolving the situation. And when this is over, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, through Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy, that we will be able to continue as a civilization, as a community, as one people, and as Muslims, we have a greater responsibility in teaching mankind, reminding mankind their responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to protect us and to keep us safe. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be grateful and thankful for the blessings and bounties that He has given us and is continuing to give us. We ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to allow us to ponder over the revelation, that we are able to understand the message that Allah Jalla wa'ala gave to us, so that we can better our communities, better ourselves and our families. And I ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to bless us with Jannat al-Na'im, the highest places in paradise. My dear brothers and sisters, Jazakum Allah khairah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.